dedicate a Sunday in a year to remember the youth, and we call it the Youth Sunday. We have been taking the month, the first Sunday of July every year, to remember you young people. Now this is what I want to say to you young people here in this congregation. You are precious to your parents and also to the church. The Lord wants to raise you up for the future of the church and the nation. Let me add a little bit. There are many perversions in this world. The world is pushing for a change in moral and family values. You must stand firm in the truth, the Word of God. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone. I hope you will take these few words with you. Later on, I'll be praying for you, and the church has a gift for you, and we'll be distributing to you later on. Now, the scripture text for our meditation this morning is taken from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 11, verses 8 to chapter 12, verse 8 also. King Solomon wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. He is the wisest man on earth. He chose to end his message in the book by writing to the young people. And there must be a good reason. King Solomon wrote the book of Ecclesiastes from life experience. After a life of pursuing knowledge, wealth, and riches, pleasures, and accumulation of earthly substance, Solomon made this conclusion. He says, "Vanity of vanities, all is vanity." Chapter 12, verse 8. Now, this phrase is used to express the emptiness and the temporalness of the world. The Apostle John says this: "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world." And then in chapter 2, verse 17, he says, "And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of the Lord abideth forever." Man cannot be satisfied by the things of the world. The fact is, the world will make man crave for more things. And this is why fashions and designs change so rapidly. They cater to the insatiable desire of man. Now, young people, may I ask you, how many portable communication devices do you have? Are you contented with what you already have? In the book of Ecclesiastes, King Solomon warned us about the madness and emptiness in pursuing worldly things. His message this morning targets young people because they needed it. He is telling the young people, don't pursue riches, pleasures, and earthly things as if they will last forever. These things do not have eternal values. John says they are transitory. The world passes away and the last thereof. The word last means an inordinate craving. And then John adds, he says that he that doeth the will of the Father abideth forever. In other words, if you do God's will and you remain faithful in the Lord, there will be eternal blessings. Now, I think there is another reason for speaking to the youth. And King Solomon wants you young people to know that you are precious in the sight of God. D.L. Moody was once asked, "How many converts did you have last night?" He replied, 2.5. The other person said, 2 adults and a child. "No," Moody replied, 2 children and 1 adult. A child converted is an entire life converted. So dear young people, if you allow the word of God to speak to you and to shape your life, you can accomplish much for the kingdom of God. I'd like to outline my message simply into 3 points, and I want to answer these 3 questions. What, when, and why? Remember, our theme is Youth, Remember Thy Creator. Remember what? In chapter 12, verse 1, Solomon says, remember now thy Creator. Solomon exhorts young people to remember God. And specifically, he said to remember God the Creator. Genesis chapter 1 says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth and everything we see in them. God created Adam and Eve and gave them the breath of life by breathing into their nostrils. I want to say this again. Young people, you are special in the sight of God because He created you. He gave life to you and your being. Your existence in this world is not an accident. You do not come through an evolutionary process. You are specially created by God. I believe God took time to plan for you in His creation. You have unique thumbprint and DNA, you know that. And I want to say this, that God designed your look and your body. Therefore, you are wonderful and beautiful in the sight of God. Now please turn to Psalms 139. Psalms 139. Verses 13 to 15. Psalms 139, verse 13. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest part of the earth. Now when we read this, I think we find it a little difficult to understand. Now I want to put it in some plain terms, and you will be able to see that when the psalmist wrote these few words, he had man's creation in his mind. When he says, God, thou hast possessed my reins. In fact, in his language, all right, he's saying, God, you have formed my inward parts. You have formed all that is within me. And then he says, God, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. The word there, thou hast covered, means to entwine, to put together, to join the parts as if, as in placing the important organs in their respective positions. You see, God knows exactly where to place our heart, our lungs, our kidneys, our liver. And then he goes on to say in verse 14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy work, and that my soul knoweth well. Verse 15, he says, my substance was not hid from thee. Now what was he talking about when he says my substance? Alright? In the original language, he was talking about his skeletal form. The bones are not hid from God. When I was made in secret, the word secret doesn't mean, God hides us, and says this is something not very good, so I make it up in my secret, The word means to specially design, all right? And then when I went to the original language, it has the word private in it. It means you are a private collection. Now, I'm not saying you are a toy or you are an object of God's collection. But what I want to tell you is that you are very special. Alright? Because God created you. And He did not do it haphazardly. I believe He took time. Because from the foundation of the world, God had decided that you, young man, young woman, should be on earth on such a day. So God has planned. And God has joined everything, put them in order to make you as you are today. And then I want to continue. He says, curiously wrought in the lowest part of the earth. Now what does that mean? The word curiously should be skillfully or delicately formed. You know, God takes care that the finest detail about our creation is looked into. And then He says, wrought in the lowest part of the earth. It is an expression meaning be placed in the mother's womb. You see, this is how God created us. And what I want to say is, He planned, He looked into every detail, and He gave us life and brought us into this world. So, who or what are we to remember? We are to remember God, who is our Creator. So, young people, remember your Creator. Now, from this fact, I want to deduce three implications. Number one, I want to say that you belong to the Creator. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 19 to 20, Paul says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God? And ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." You are not your own. Means you do not possess yourself. You belong to God. So I hope, young people, that you are aware that God is your owner, your master. Once you lose this reality, you are likely to live outside the will of God. Therefore, the call to remember God is a call to acknowledge Him. Do you acknowledge God in your life? At home, in school, when you are socializing with your friends? I hope you do. Another reason we belong to God, Paul says, ye are bought with a price. You see, when man sins, he rejects God as his master. The devil and sin becomes his master. His life is controlled by the evil one. While we were in this pathetic condition, God sent His Son to die for our sin. Jesus purchased us with His precious blood. And Paul says, we are bought with a price. You see, the Son of God gave Himself for us. You belong to the Creator. The second implication, or before I talk about the second implication, I want to say this. Perchance, young people, you are here and you still have not accepted Christ as your Savior. I hope to impress upon you this truth, that you are created by God, a very special being. You belong to God. But sin has separated you from God. You can come to Him today. Accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. The second implication, you are to serve the Creator's purpose. Westminster Confession of Faith, Shorter Catechism, question number one, asks, what is the chief end of man? Can you answer? Let's answer together. The chief end of man is... Okay, I think the second part, a number of us are not sure, right? The chief end of man is to glorify God and to serve Him, to enjoy Him. To enjoy Him forever. Now, this is the purpose of God. And when God created man, it was for this purpose. To enjoy God forever. But sin has separated us from Him. We have to come back to God in true fellowship. Now, I want to ask again, young people, what do you enjoy most? Computer games? Socializing with friends? Some may even say, I enjoy studying. Anyone here? Well, if you do, I want to say computer games, socializing, or studies are all legitimate part of life. Okay. What you enjoy most, you will spend time in it. Alright, I know there are people who love to play games on a computer, and you spend an hour and you feel that it is not enough. Right? You want 2 hours, you want 3 hours, and then you want the whole day to play computer games. Now my question to you is, do you enjoy God? The chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. So do you enjoy God? Are you spending time to know Him better? How many of you did spend some time with the Lord last week? Young people today have misplaced emphasis. Friends, both real and in the digital world, you are not building your relationship properly. So Solomon says, remember now your Creator. And when he said this, he means, let Him have first place in your life. Okay, so the first implication is, you acknowledge Him. The second implication is, you have to put Him first in your life. The third implication, you are thankful for His creation. What is the first thing you look at in the morning? Well, for many of us, it is the mirror. Alright? Is that right? Now, I know some of you go and turn on your computer, go and turn on your TV. But most of us would go straight to the bathroom and look at the mirror. Okay. Now, when you look at yourself in the mirror, what is the first thought? Well, I'm sleepy, right? My hair is messy. Dirt in my eyes. Okay. Probably some mucus coming down from the nose. Now, I want to say this to you. Let our first thought be thankfulness to God for creating us as we are and keeping us alive through the night. Okay? First thing is, if you look at the mirror and you can see yourself, means you are alive. Thank God that He has kept you through the night. Okay? What if you don't wake up this morning? Well, you can't look at the mirror. Okay. So when you stare at the mirror the next time, don't say, my nose is not nice. My eyes are not nice. Remember, God created you beautiful in His sight. So be thankful that you have a nose to smell the fragrance of flowers and the aroma of the nice food your parents prepared for you. Be thankful you have eyes to see the wonderful creation of God. God deems you beautiful in His sight. And I want to say this to all others, that we must also have the same perspective. We have no right to criticize another person's appearance. Right? So don't tell someone, you need to go and do something to your nose. You need to do something to your eyes. You know, you have only a single eyelid. Go and have a surgery and you have 2, 3, 4 eyelids. Now I want to say this to you, that you are beautiful in God's sight. Right? Thank God that He has created you in this way. Okay? Now I just want to add, now I'm not against cosmetic surgery as a whole. Okay? Now, if someone has a crooked nose and need a surgery to straighten it so that he can breathe better, then go for it. Alright? But don't go for one just because we want to be like one of the superstars, you know? And we have heard, we have read many, many times, right? That there are surgeries that have gone wrong, terribly wrong. Why not we just say, thank God that you created me this way, and I accept it. Thank God that you deem me beautiful in your sight. I come to the second point of my message, and I want to answer the question, when? The first question says, remember thy Creator. When should we remember our Creator? Verse 1 says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. When I was in my youth, a relative spoke to me about my religion. He did not oppose my conversion to Christianity. He suggested to me to go slow in developing a religious conviction. He implied that many young people change their religious persuasion over time. Thank God, I did not change my conviction. And I want to thank God for sustaining my faith for the last 38 years. A verse has helped me when my faith is challenged. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12 says, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. So Solomon says, remember now thy Creator. See, young people, do not postpone your commitment to the Creator. There are people who say that they will believe in Jesus Christ in a later time, perhaps when they are much older, but they never did till this day. Once a preacher had a dream. He dreamt of hell. And the demons were trying to think of a way to stop people from accepting Christ. Each demon brought an idea to the master and was told to try it. The ideas included the typical ones people think are responsible for turning others away: drugs, sexual temptations, intellectualism, money, fame, status, and so on. Now, all of these strategies were tried, but they were not very effective. Finally, one demon suggested a plan that surprised everyone. He said, let's tell people that believing the Bible and following Christ are the right things to do. Tell them that being a committed believer was the only way to live life. He concluded, tell them to do it tomorrow. Now, that has become Satan's strategy. And for many people, tomorrow never comes. I had a schoolmate in Bible college. He was an outstanding student. After graduation, he decided to work in the secular world for a while before going to the mission field. So he found a job in the civil service. Some years ago, he told one of our friends he will serve the Lord when he retired. from the civil service. He's now retired and he's running his own business. He's over 50 years. Soon he'll be 60. The question is, when will he fulfill his calling? Solomon exhorts us to remember the Creator in the days of our youth. We start to serve God when we are young and when we have full of energy. So when do we remember the Creator? Now, in the days of our youth. I want to come to the third point. The second point concludes the verse. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. And now I want to answer why. Why remember our Creator in the days of our youth? In a recent Chinese prayer meeting, I shared on the words of Moses in Psalms 90. He said, the days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength, labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. I think you know this verse. Okay? Now, Moses is inspired of God to talk about a man's life today. You remember while Moses was alive, man lived pretty long. Okay, we are talking about a few hundred years. But he says in Psalms 90 that a man's life is 70, which is 70, and by reason of strength it be 80 years, that is 80. Now today, average life span for most people is between the age of 70 to 80. After the sharing, I went home. Suddenly, the shortness of time becomes a reality to me. It will not take long before I hit the 70 years. I want to do many things, but age and health have slowed me down. And it is going to slow me down further when aging process takes its toll. And so I can understand the reasons for Solomon to say this. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. I want to give you three reasons. First of all, remembering God in the days of our youth . The first reason is old age and poor health will overtake us one day and very soon. Let's go back to our scripture text in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 1 to 7. The chairman read this passage to us earlier on. Now I want you to note that Solomon wrote these 7 verses in a very poetic manner. Okay? Now I'm going to go through part of it. Time does not permit to go through every phrases, but I hope you can go back and do some reading, okay? And get the full understanding of the poetic expression in these 7 verses. Verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. So this is exactly what I've given to you for the first reason, right? That old age and ill health overtakes us very soon. And then in verse 2, he says, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. You see here, Solomon pictures old age as a gloomy experience. He says, the sun, the moon, and the stars are darkened. So old age is like a gathering storm. Okay. And then in verse 3, he says, the keeper of the house shall tremble. Now what does he mean when he says the keeper of the house tremble? It is a poetic expression of the arms and hands of an elderly person. Right? If you have held the hand of your elderly grandparents, you know, and you understand. Alright, the motor nerve is no more that effective. There is some trembling. And so Solomon put it in this manner that the house, the keepers of the house shall tremble. And then he says, the strong men shall bow themselves and the grinders cease. The strong men shall bow themselves. He's talking about the leg. He speaks of the weakness of the limbs and the grinders, which refers to the few remaining teeth of the elderly person. And then he says, those that look out of the window be darkened. You look out of the window and it's darkened. You know what that is? Yeah, it has to do with your eyesight. Alright? A failing eyesight, a degenerated eyesight. And then he says, the doors shall be shut in the streets. He can't hear what is outside. So hearing fail too. He shall rise up at the voice of the birds. You see, elderly people do not have long sleep, right? They go to bed anytime and then a few hours later they are awake. Okay? So Solomon says that they hear the voice of the bird. But we don't, huh? By the time we are awake, the birds are far away because, you know, the sun is so hot that they won't want to be around. Okay? But elderly people wakes up to hear birds singing. In other words, they wake up early. And then daughters of music shall be brought low. There's a decreased appreciation for music. Okay, you can play all kinds of music. Alright? You can love all kinds of music now. There'll come a time they say, turn it off. Okay. Just noise. Noisy, right? So if your grandparents say that to you, please understand. Okay? There's no more appreciation for Mozart, Beethoven, whatever. Okay? Alright? You don't have to tell them 92.4. They are not very keen. Okay. They just want quietness. Verse 5 says, they shall be afraid of that which is high. You know, they have difficulty climbing up steps, right? And then, fears shall be in the way. In other words, they are afraid of falling down. And then, the almond tree shall flourish. Have you seen an almond tree when it flowers? Alright, it is white. Okay, white in color. I mean, for some of us who have been to China for our yearly mission trip, that area where we go to has lots of almond tree. Okay, when a flower comes out, they are white flower. And he says, King Solomon says, the almond tree shall flourish. You know what that means? Hair turning white. The grasshopper shall be a burden. Okay, grasshopper. Have you seen the legs of the grasshopper? Yeah, crippled and bent limbs. Impaired mobility. Desire shall fail. No more desire. You can tell him. You know, eat, eat. This is good food. Alright? Oh, they have no desire for food. Okay? They are happy to have that bit to keep them alive. Okay? And then man goeth to his long home. In other words, he faced the prospect of death. Mourners go about the streets. There'll be people mourning for his death. Now I can go on verses 6 and 7, but can you do some reading up for yourself? Okay, so you see, Solomon pictures the reality of old age. And he says, before age catches up, before ill health overtakes you, young man, young woman, remember your Creator. Go serve Him. Go do His purpose. I want to give you the second reason. And the second reason for remembering God in the days of our youth is we will all one day stand before God in judgment. Look at chapter 11, verse 9 of the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 9, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thy heart, and in the sight of thy eyes. But know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment." See, we all stand before God in judgment one day. Now, there are two judgments in the future. The first one is called the Bema Seat Judgment, or also known as the judgment seat of Christ. Romans chapter 14 verse 10 says this, "But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why do thou set at naught thy brother? For we all shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ." 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 10, "For we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad." The Bema Seat Judgment is a judgment on our works as believers in Jesus Christ. There's another judgment called the Great White Throne Judgment. Revelation chapter 20 verse 11 says this, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." Now this is a judgment on people whose names are not in the book of life. Now if you read the entire context, you understand. All right? It is a judgment on the unbelieving ones. Now, whether we are believer or we are not, we all stand before God one day. How do you want God to judge us? Which judgment do you want to appear before? We all want to stand before God in the Bema Seat Judgment, where our works are judged. But remember, it is our work which will be judged. So if we have no work, then we know the results of the judgment. And if we want rewards, we have to start working now. Right? Now I know that it is often said, please don't work for reward. Okay? But it is a fact that you who serve God have rewards. So you have to work, so that you will be rewarded one day. And remember, the reward is given by God. God has the prerogative to reward us according to our work. So start working, start serving God, start doing something for God now. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. The second reason is, we will all stand before God one day in judgment. The third reason for remembering God in the days of our youth, we will not regret in the future. Look at chapter 11, verse 10. "Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart, and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity." So remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from thy flesh. Now what does Solomon mean when he says put away evil from your flesh? The word evil in the original language means to feel distress, to grieve, or to be miserable. In other words, what he's trying to tell us is this, that we should be doing what we should do for the Lord now, so that in future, when we stand before God, we will not have this feeling in us. The feeling of distress, grief, or misery. So I want to offer you this third reason, that we should start remembering our Creator now, so that we will not regret in the future. Are we doing that? I want to sidetrack a little bit, but it has something to do with this point that I'm trying to illustrate. Okay, we know the prophet Jeremiah. God called him. When did God call him to be a prophet? When he was in his mother's womb. That young. Turn to chapter 1, verses 4 to 8 of the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 to 8. Verse 4, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then say I, okay, Jeremiah said, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Now I want you to look at the reply of Prophet Jeremiah. He says, ah, Lord God. Now, when you look at that phrase, can you get a sense of what Jeremiah was trying to say? What kind of expression is that? Okay, when you say, ah, is that right? Okay, I accept it. Okay, that you have called me and I'm going to be your prophet. Okay, but that is not what it meant in the Hebrew language. Okay, go and look at the word in the Hebrew language. What Jeremiah actually was saying, he says, huh? Ah. Ow. He was in agony. You call me to go to these people? You remember Jonah? Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. People there were wicked. And I believe Jeremiah knew the same thing. No, I don't want to go. And he gave an excuse. He says, I'm young. I can't speak. Okay? I don't have the eloquence. Moses gave that same reason. Okay, no eloquence. Alright? Now his expression is, you want me to go? No, I don't want. Okay. Now, to all of us, when we appear before God, what would our expression be? The response depends on what we are doing now. Okay? And indeed, many of us will be surprised in the manner that God rewards His people. Let us stand before God with confidence and not the expression of Jeremiah. And just to add a little bit, God gave this assurance to Jeremiah. He says, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee. Now I want to say this, if you are doing God's will, you have this promise that God will be with you. Now, so young people, if you have to do the right thing, do it right. For God is with you. Now, in conclusion, I want to tell you a story. A man came rushing to a ferry boat, breathless, after running at an extremely fast pace. But he got there just as the gate man shut the door in his face. Did he get in? No. A bystander remarked, "You didn't run fast enough." The disappointed man answered, "I ran fast enough, but I didn't start on time." Now the point is this: to try to accomplish the most for God in a lifetime, you must start early. Solomon says, remember now, in the days of thy youth. Please don't say, when I retire, I will start to run the race. Okay? Study now. And you have plenty of opportunity to do it right and do it well for our God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the first Sunday of the month of July. As usual, we will be observing the Lord's Supper. And I want to encourage you to use this time to examine ourselves before God. And then I will lead you in prayer and thanksgiving for the Lord's Supper.